Hello and welcome to another Touchdown Fracker special podcast. I'm your host Lewis, and on today's show I'm joined by quite a few guests. We've got Io. How you doing, mate?
Right, lads.
Ruben.
Hi, you're right.
Leroy.
Hello, how you doing?
Mickey.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We've got Ollie.
Yo, what's up?
And I believe that's it. Is that everyone? Is that everyone counted for? Yeah, I think so. So, I just want to talk a bit about last week's episode. We had Matt Whitehouse on, and I hope you all enjoyed it. We've got some amazing feedback from that episode. We really enjoyed it. I hope you did too. We hope to get Matt on, like, more regularly, more than just like a special guest. So that should be good for the future. Also, I just wanted to say, like, thanks for everyone who's done some iTunes reviews. It's quite important that we, you know, try and get up the iTunes rankings, try and branch out to a higher audience. So I'm just going to read out some. I got one from Gaz. He says, big fan of the podcast. Gives your average football fan or lover the opportunity to air their views on the game we will love. All the guests offer well-informed opinions as well as offer some great banter. Well worth a listen. So well done, lads. That's a good review for some of you. Lots of reviews saying how funny we are and how great we are and how well informed we are. So keep the iTunes ratings and reviews coming in. That will really help us with the pod, making it more, putting it out there to a larger audience, obviously. So on today's pod, we're essentially just going to be looking over the season so far. Lots and lots of talking points, lots and lots of things to be made fun of. Man United. So I guess we will start with Man United. Io, just explain to me what on earth happened with the 5-3.
It was just a disaster. Like, it was just having a moment. Johnny Evans went off. It just looked bleak. Like, I don't know what it was. When Johnny Evans came off, this morning came on, I had a bad feeling about it. I don't know why. We were comfortable playing well, thinking every time they get the ball, they're getting way too much space going towards our goal. Obviously, the first two goals, we both know was going to happen. They were both shocking decisions. Not as much the first goal, because obviously you can get those wrong, but the second decision, both of them were ridiculous in my opinion. And from there, we just didn't react, which was awful from us. So, and when it went 3-3, and then he took off Di Maria and Falcao, I just knew we were going to lose. So
what?
It's embarrassing to concede 5 goals to any team at any level, let alone Leicester City. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm an Arsenal supporter, so I know how you feel about conceding 5 goals. But is it all men to panic stations quite yet, or is it still, you know?
People can panic as much as they want, but at the end of the day, yeah, we lost 5-3, but we still lost the 3 points. Like, if the ref doesn't give that second decision, we probably go on to win the game 4-5-1, and we're 2 points off top, and then we're sucking our mind out of the back again. Obviously, the capitulation is poor, but I don't think that's something that we're going to see very often, because I don't think it's humanly possible to defend as bad as that on a consistent basis. Like, I don't think you could do that if you tried to. Like, I think for one of the goals, Chris Smalling, who's meant to be our centre-back, he was literally by the bench. I don't know what he was doing there, but it was just stuff like that. You don't really see that often, so...
Yeah.
Does the defence worry me? Yes. But do I think it's going to be that bad? No. I personally think we'll struggle probably against more teams of a lower standard that have a lot more physical players, because our defenders can't deal with any sort of physicality whatsoever. That's why I kind of worry for tomorrow against West Ham, against Eder Valencia and Zarco. But we'll see.
Ollie, would you be worried if you were a Man United supporter?
Smalling started off really, really well, and then he got injured, and he kind of like fell off since then. And which coupled with the Moyes period, I think Jones, yes, because we kind of messed him about, we played him in so many different positions. So I was kind of annoyed at that. But with Jones, he's kind of a ball chaser. So I think how much of it is down to the club? Like, are they going to be good enough? That's the question. So I don't really like to blame everyone, the club, for players' development, especially a club like Manchester United, where apart from last season, we've had arguably the best manager of all time, and we never seem to get it wrong with defenders. So I don't see a reason why they shouldn't have developed at a decent level, because we signed the man in Vidic, he grew from strength to strength. Obviously, Rio Ferdinand's already a top quality defender. He grew from strength to strength. Rafael did. Even Johnny Evans did. Patrice Evra. I don't see why West Brown. I don't see why it changed with Smalling and Jones. So maybe they're just not good enough. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I still have a bit of faith left in them, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, so Ruben, do you agree with much of what Aya was saying?
I expected them to do more to fix the defence than they did. I think Brian Rojo was sort of like, if they were going to play three at the back, he'd do okay as a left centre back. But I think in a back four, he's a bit naive, even at left back, where he should be a bit better because he has sort of a bit more attacking duties and fewer defensive duties. And not buying class centre back to replace the presence of Vidic, who wasn't world class, but he was like a leader at the back. And leaving it to the sort of relatively young centre backs was a bit of a mistake. The fact that they didn't buy anyone sort of like Benatia, Hummels, that sort of range was surprising. But the fact, like, after they haven't, and how they're playing isn't very surprising. I think they're going to be sort of the Liverpool of this. Score loads of goals, concede loads of goals, win matches sort of 4-3.
Yeah. Leroy, what's your thoughts on Man United this year? I mean, I know you felt that they were going to do quite well. Do you still think that they could possibly mount a title challenge or at least get into the top four?
I still think they'll do quite well, personally. I think that United will probably get in the top four at the expense of one of Liverpool or Arsenal. My thing is with them at the moment, personally, I think as a defensive out unit, I think their defence doesn't really get any support. And I think it's this diamond, right? For me, I think they're just getting... they've not really got any support for their fullbacks, and they have no real sort of defensive strategy. No defensive strategy, but I just don't think their defensive strategy works. So for me, for example, I think Lind, although he's done very well in terms of dictating the game, in terms of his passing choices, etc., etc., I don't think he's been very good defensively, because he's really unathletic for me, in my opinion. So, like, I think in this diamond, I prefer, you really do need an athletic ball winner, someone who's, like, dedicated to winning the ball. I think if you don't have that, then you suffer defensively. And, like, obviously, they're playing quite narrow. Di Maria's quite good, but I just don't feel like they have enough cover wide. So, like, teams, they're easily exposed and they're easily got at, especially with Blind not being able to cover as much ground. So defensively, I think they need to look at their defensive setup again. Personally, I mean, if they had a wide forward type, I would much rather see them in a 4-3-3 than this 4-4-2 diamond. I just don't think they've cracked it to the same way that Liverpool have defensively. At least they haven't really got their setup right, but it will come.
It's only been 2 games. I think everyone's making judgments, so it's been 2 games.
Yeah, it's been 2 games. Yeah, true. But the thing is, that's all we have to judge on. And looking at the 2 games, that's what I see as a problem.
Mickey, I've got a question here from CFC O'Brien. He asks, is United's poor performances testament to the quality throughout the league now compared to the last 10 years?
I definitely think there's a case to be made to the increased quality of the league, because I think with technology, with the resources available, that become more equal, that other teams can compete more, whether it will be match analysis with technology, whether it will be the money they have to increase the quality of the coaching, of equipment, so on and so on. And yeah, you could generally say, you know, 10 years ago it would have been Arsenal, Man United, or 10, 15 years ago Arsenal, Man United, and then lingering around third and fourth place would have been Leeds, Aston Villa for a little bit, you know, Liverpool and Newcastle for a little bit, and now, you know, there's 6 teams in, so it is definitely more competitive, and it's, you know, it's difficult to say whether a team of Manchester United 10, 15, 20 years ago would have been able to dominate the way they did. I don't think they would, personally speaking, so I do definitely lean towards the concept that the
What do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think the league quality has gone up, but as a supporter of Manchester United and a believer of just of competitiveness, I don't think we can look at that. I just think that we're not as good as a team. Maybe not individually when we won the league 2 years ago. We have a better team now, but as a unit, we just don't. Like, watching this United is weird. Like, I never watch United thinking, okay, we're going to leak goals today from like these any.
I'm not going to lie to you. The thing is, yeah, like, and I do understand the whole point about you can't judge a team, especially two games in. In terms of obviously this, the team that you have now and not the team that you started the season with. But at the same time, it's like, I think we're intelligent enough to recognise patterns and where potential patterns may occur. And my thing is, if you're going to continue with the diamonds, which me personally speaking, I wouldn't, but if you're going to continue with the diamond, I don't think you have the strikers that suit it. Funny enough, I don't think they suit it in the sense that A, going forward, I don't think, apart from maybe Falcao, they work for each other. I think what made Liverpool dangerous, aside from, you know, Sturridge and Sterling and whatnot and Suarez, but they had two forwards that would work for each other, so they would make a lot of selfless runs. I only see Falcao being that type of striker for United. That person does it, but he doesn't do it with the same intensity, doesn't do it with the same pace, power, and also in the pressing sense, because not just Liverpool, but teams that play diamonds in general, you know, it's not so much about leaking goals in specific areas in terms of the back third. It's where does the play start from, and when we lose the ball, how quickly do we win it back? You can count on Herrera doing that, you can count on Di Maria doing that, but Mata won't do it, Rooney won't do it, Van Persie won't do it, Falcao, they're not the kind of players that press like that. So I think unless you can convince these players, some of them which are already at their peak and may not be too ready to learn anything more, I don't know how you can convince them to become them kind of players for the team. Like, I'd not say it can't happen, but I think once a player gets a certain age, it's very, very hard to coach him in something that isn't natural to him. I think that's the exception. Things like Ribéry and Robben under Jupp Heynckes, those situations are the exception. But like I said, for me, my problem is if they lose it in the final third, then who wins it in the final third, in the middle third? And okay, that's where, you know, you'll lose a lot of the ball. But you're gone.
Go on,
yeah, now, you know what? Until your last point, I was going to disagree with you there, but then you made that last point, and then that's what I was thinking. Because I think they can really be a potent attacking force. I do think they have the strikers to be a potent attacking force. They have the team set up to be really good going forward. But it's from, like you said, for me, it's their defensive setup which is wrong, and that's where they don't suit the diamond. It's in their defensive setup. Because personally, I think, like, who's going to win it in the top third? Who's going to win it back in the middle third? What is their setup going to be? Lin's not really athletic enough to play that role for me if you're going to play in a diamond. And I really think only Di Maria is the one that really suits that system. But the thing is, even with the diamond, like, you look at Liverpool and they were easy to get out last season. Like, even the way they played, in the same type of way. Like, you are... I mean, unless you have the right players, like the AC Milan team of old, you are culpable to conceding goals.
But another team that played the diamond excellently without defensively weak was Italy in 2012.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. But they had the right players.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, it's a very...
Okay, who are the players, would you say, that won the ball out of the pitch? Who are these players?
Like Marquinhos.
Italy?
No, yeah, for these players that win the ball out of the pitch in the top
Marquinhos.
Third. Yeah, but I think you said in the top third.
In the top third of the pitch?
Yeah.
For me, as a unit,
Italy, Marquinhos would play out there.
Yeah.
In a diamond.
And then
they had De Rossi, was it Monza and Pirlo?
So De Rossi wasn't even at the bases, I think it was side to side of Montolivio. And they had.
I thought it was Pirlo at the base.
Yeah, Pirlo at
the base. Yeah, Motta, Marquinhos, and what's his name? Motta, Marquinhos, and what's his name? De Rossi, that's the one. Yeah. So that team is meant to win the ball back. Like, look at how it's constructed.
I think De Rossi got quite a lot of freedom to charge around winning the ball back in that team because of the fact that they had Pirlo and Motta, who prefer not to do that much running. And then De Rossi provides protection, and then Marquinhos helps him out with the pressing, and the strikers don't really have to do much because the midfield is so good, which is the difference between that diamond and United's diamond. Like, they all just sort of rely on Blind to win the ball back.
I disagree with that point. I think because where we're losing the ball is in that middle third. So how if you're losing the ball in the middle third, how are you expecting Van Persie, etc. to win that ball back?
It's not really that bad. My point's not about Van Persie though, but
no, I'm
talking about. Well, it's like the sort of front three, as previously mentioned, aren't ball winners.
Yeah,
so it's like Di Maria was good at Madrid at sort of playing in a midfield three and doing some defensive work, but I don't know, it's like Herrera and Blind aren't sort of used to having to
my thing is it's
do that.
This is my point about having your front three into the fence. It's not because think about it, right?
Nobody said that.
But my thing is, in terms of losing the ball, we're talking about transition, right? So United lose the ball in the final third to the middle third, right? Are the players that are going to play in that area, which will include the strikers and the number 10, are they the type of players to automatically switch on and excel in transitional periods?
That's not for the master. That's for the manager to work. And I think he could work. I think he's a smart enough manager. And I think if it doesn't work, he'll change it.
Oh yeah, I have no doubt that he can change it. He's capable of changing it. But my thing is, in this current system, I don't see the players of their profile being able to execute that to the highest level. Personally speaking, in other areas of the game, maybe, but I'm just thinking about that situation where you lose the ball and then the fullbacks are instantly moving. Because think about it, right? If they move, then you've got Herrera on the right, Di Maria on the left, supposed to obviously help press. But if they press, then you've got gaps in the middle, and Blind, like Leroy said, doesn't have the athleticism to really cover or do that much covering. And these are transitions that happen in less than 5 seconds. So,
firstly, I just think we need a dedicated ball winner in that midfield somewhere.
I disagree. I wouldn't say it's just one player. I think it's a team. I wouldn't say it's one player, personally speaking.
I think we'll be fine, man. I think we'll be fine. But I'm pretty sure.
Personally, I think with the personnel you have, I think you'd
do
a 4-3-3-1, in my opinion.
I'm not too sure. I don't see how we can have either one of Van Persie and Fab on the bench.
Yeah, in that 4-3-3, would Di Maria play left centre mid or on the wing?
Left centre mid.
Right, and then so the front three would be.
What's that?
You're the front three.
I'll drop Rini
as well, but who's the front three going to be?
Falcao's got
to
be
Falcao, personally
speaking.
You say?
Me personally?
I would have...
Wait, guys, Mickey, you say first.
My front three, I'll go 4-2-3-1, personally speaking. My two white guys would be Di Maria and Januzaj, and Van Persie up front.
Leroy?
I would go 4-3-3. My midfield three would be either one of Blind or Claret, Pereira, and Di Maria. That's me. I'd have Falcao up top.
Ruben, what about your three?
I think their squad suits a 4-2-3-1 shape better than a 4-3-3. So I'd have Blind and Herrera, centre mid, Rooney or Mata, 10, Van Persie or Falcao, 9, and then Di Maria and Yanis on the wings. So, but that's dropping two big names, which is why they're not doing it.
Mm. Do you have an opinion? Yeah.
Matters a better 10, so...
I think Van Gaal, if he's not playing well, Van Gaal will drop him, captain or no captain.
He needs a kick up.
But the thing is, Rooney hasn't played poor this season, so people keep talking about Rooney's kick up the bum, but he hasn't played poor this season. I generally don't understand this. He's played poor.
I can't talk for other people, wouldn't it? Me personally speaking, when I see
system to be making these comments. These comments are so wild, like, I can't even begin to even get into it.
Rooney and Mata have different strengths and weaknesses, so it's hard
I'd rather play Juan Mata in a number 10 position than Rooney. But the statements you lot have just made are just bonkers, I'm sorry.
It's not bonkers, because to be honest, these bonkers statements have been made for years.
Okay, that's
for you to insinuate it's bonkers, for me to say it's something that is maybe unique, and maybe our viewpoints will have been something that's recent. When if you think about it, I know just as many Man United fans that mirror what we're saying, firstly. And also
you say even when Matt has played ball, he still facilitates. That's not true.
Do you think he'll bring the team down if he plays badly?
Because when Matt plays bad for Man United, which has been quite often, he actually does absolutely nothing. Like, zilch.
Right, okay. And then he'll pop up with a goal and it'll disguise his bad performance.
But you're saying that he does that, but that's the same thing Wayne Rooney's been doing for the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know, it seems more obvious the way Rooney pops back the team. It's just more visible.
It's more obvious is a valid point. That's what you guys
said. My point is, it's not even about, is it more obvious? It's a thing where what he actually does, his actual actions, will actually be detrimental to the team.
Whether it will be
a wild pass or whatever, it's just like it's something that you've actually broken it down. And even off the ball, he doesn't create space.
It's like the whole, is it obvious, is it not obvious?
I don't know about that, because at the end of the day, the way I perceive the game, the way Ruben perceives the game, or anyone else perceives the game, is going to vary. You're going to see things that I don't see, I'm going to see things you don't see. But going by what he actually does, which is something that is almost, you know, it's a universally shared idea, to be honest with you, it's a thing where, okay, right now, would we be better off dropping Rooney and playing someone else in his place or not?
I agree with that point. I just don't like when people just not inconsistent. Matter when he plays for Man United, he doesn't do anything. Like, none of this, oh, he speeds up play, facilitates, no, he doesn't do any of that. If you watch United, he didn't do anything. That's the reason why he's been getting criticised. Because even when Matt's not on his game, he's still that type of playmaker, but some games he's been completely, utterly awful, like from start to finish.
But what games are those? Because the thing is, I've seen him play all kinds of positions and roles. I've seen him. I don't really want to talk about Matt underneath under Moyes, because I don't think Moyes is that type of man. Just getting the best out of a player like him. I've seen him play a couple of times this season so far, and I'm not even talking about preseason, because preseason he looked amazing alongside a lot of other players. He looked amazing, but I've seen Man United play twice this season. Obviously, the last game, QPR.
The fact you asked that question says quite a lot.
No, because I'm trying to remember, and I remember, okay, it was Rooney, Van Persie played up top, he played in a diamond.
And Mata got that goal by Ferdinand, just didn't know he was there.
Yeah. But, me personally speaking, for the formation that you're going to play him in, because Rooney's not going to be a better striker than Van Persie or Falcao. He's only a better number 10 than Mata.
Yeah, no,
he's going to be a better number 10.
I think he drops. I'd even rather have Januzaj in the 10 position. For the way we want to play, I just don't see. I think Rooney should get sold. No banter.
He should have been sold in the summer.
Yeah, but in the summer, I don't see who's going to come to buy him.
Or just whenever it was possible. But I think it was, like Matt Whitehouse was saying this last week, they should have sold him for the good of the team. But I think
if we still had Ferguson, he would have been gone.
Yeah, Chelsea wanted Rooney, didn't they, when United got
Matter. He wouldn't have went Chelsea, but he still would have been sold.
Do you think that Mourinho actually wanted Rooney, or
yes,
do you think he was just playing fun and games?
Yeah, 100% he did.
He's a big Wayne Rooney fan.
Mm. Yeah, people were trying to all like make it out like, oh, Mourinho was playing his mind games he wanted to destabilise United by courting Rooney, so like a some sort of master plan. I'm just like, no, he tried to get him.
I don't know about that one, but
Rooney, you played as a 9 with really good service at Chelsea.
Rooney would have been amazing at Chelsea, 100%.
I just think Rooney just needs a completely whole new. I think he's just too comfortable at Manchester United.
Yeah, he needs a challenge and a wake up call. But you can't. like choose a position and like actually perform. You can't just sort of stroll through your club career.
I think Manchester United are going to play 4-3-3. That's if we're going to have to sign another. A wide forward. That's like somebody like Marco Reus. That, yeah, but at the moment, I don't think our team suits. I think our team definitely suits the system with two strikers.
All right.
I don't like this notion.
But
everybody has to play one striker. That's what everybody else is doing.
But that's no one saying that because everyone's playing one striker.
Why is nobody suggesting formations where it's two strikers?
Because we're just looking at your midfield and then trying to see what we think best suits your team.
And
that's it.
I don't think 4-3-3 would suit our team.
If you had a wide forward, I think it would be amazing.
But we don't have wide forwards.
You don't even need wide forwards. What makes you think you need wide forwards?
Okay, who's gonna play in the wide positions?
You can't really play strikers on the wing because then fullbacks get no help when going back, do they?
No, you can. The thing is, you can play a 4-3-3 with actual wingers, but it just means your penetration has to come from other areas. That's all that means.
I think we've got really, really top quality forwards. That if we could find a system where we could still defend, I think those guys will get us goals.
My only concern about your strikers is I don't think you've got a variation of strikers. What I mean by that is your strikers are all similar.
I don't think that's much of a point, but if they're intelligent and they're willing to play with an element of selfishness.
Yeah, but my thing is, for me it goes beyond intelligence because there's different kinds of intelligence. The type of intelligence it takes for me to be a target man is different to the intelligence it takes for me to be a deep line forward than a wide forward. It's different. I'm looking at player profiles. The reason why a lot of other strike partnerships work is because they vary their game. And Van Persie is strange because he's technically one of the most gifted strikers in the world. Very intelligent. But it's like Van Persie will almost have to be how he is currently to how he was at the start of his Arsenal career. It was a nice blend. But like Van Persie, his best recently has kind of been this straight up goal poacher type of striker. Falcao was obviously similar. They're good. They can vary it, but you know, strikers that know how to mix it up is guys obviously Sturridge, Suarez.
People say exactly the same thing about when we signed Carlos Tevez. Exactly the same thing.
But Carlos Tevez is totally different. Animal. We can play, like for me, Carlos Tevez can play all kinds of different striker roles.
I think Van
Persie hasn't demonstrated that in years.
He can. It doesn't seem like he wants to.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. It's just like
there's a difference between somebody else can do something and somebody can't do something.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he wants to. Because for me,
that's my point. Like, you know, Rooney doesn't want to be that guy. He's not going to be at his best unless he's the number nine. Okay, Falcao is a straight up number nine. Van Persie, he's capable of doing it. He's got the tactical ability. He's got the technical ability. For me, it's the mental thing. Does he want to? And even physically, can he? Because that's my thing with Van Persie. I don't think he has the dynamism that the Tevez and the Rooney's had, even the Falcao has. So that's why I saw selling Welbeck as probably a big thing for me, because I think Welbeck would have been the ideal partner for any of those strikers that was
currently. I'm not having a single bar of that one. That one's what I've got.
We're talking about the kinds of strikers.
I know it's small snippets, but even like on against Leicester, like you can see slowly in sync how Van Persie and Falcao work. They're both two very intelligent players, and especially with Falcao, I think his movement is very, very good, and Van Persie's movement is also very good. I think the intelligent players, I think especially players who want to win, I think they'll work it out.
Van Persie's goal is a good example of that.
And I think you overstate the type of egos they have, like especially at our club. I don't see it being that much of a problem.
I don't think you can. Like I said, for me, I'm only expressing doubt. But again, it's only two games in, really. But judging from the kind of strike partnerships that we've seen over the last years, in terms of the trends and whatnot, it tends to be particular kinds of partnership that work, and I'm just basing it off that, really. They may very well change the game or whatever, you know, we'll see, but I don't think that signing Falcao and Van Persie really is, you know, it's
Alright, guys, well, I've had enough of Man United.
Yeah,
I'm bored, sick of Man United. So, I suppose the next port of call is, where should we go? Arsenal?
It was always going to be Arsenal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, we'll give you 30 seconds of Crystal Palace, Ruben. Towards the latter stages of the show.
Wickets.
Wait, is that too much time, is it? Maybe
20
seconds, maybe. But yeah,
what, 30 seconds?
Well, is that too much time? I don't know.
Yeah, there isn't really much to say about us, to be honest. Hopefully not, but probably are.
Ruben, this is your 30 seconds, I'm afraid.
For Crystal Palace, yeah? Alright, here we go.
You've had it, mate. You've
Johnson
had it.
Shouldn't have been yeah, we're going down.
No, I want to hear about Crystal Palace.
All right. Basically, Andy Johnson is a nostalgic sign-in. And won't really play that much, but I mean, good to have him back. Kevin Doyle was a shit sign-in. Doesn't move. We should have kept Jerome. Fraser Campbell needs to do a bit more, but I already have faith in him. Midfield looks good now. But now that we've got MacArthur over Dikachoy, we've got good options on the wing. Balassi's a hard punching, so I'm not really worried about attacking. I think we'll score enough goals with them and Gayle up top. But defensively, without Pulis, we look a bit shit, especially when Mariappa and Hanglin play. So we need to play Kelly, Dan, Delaney and Ward at the back. We should have bought a better left back than Friars, but oh well. So we've got the team to stay out, but it's just whether Warnock can actually keep us up. That I'm worried about.
How pissed off are you that Neil Warnock is your manager?
Very, to be honest, because I don't know, I like Parrish, but I do blame him for Pulis leaving. Like, I think when he did that good a job, he's just got to give him what he wants, really, within reason. Especially at that time, like 2 days before the season, and there were better options to replace him than Warnock. So I'm pretty pissed off, but he doesn't seem to be doing too badly in the early stages, so I'll give him time. But
Neil Warnock must have been laughing. He was doing weekday mornings presenting on TalkSport, and he got a call to manage bloody Crystal Palace in the Premier League.
He was like seventh choice. I don't know, I wouldn't have wanted Sherwood. Like, no, never. Mackay, if he wasn't such a prick. Steve Clark would have been good, but yeah, so there wasn't really that many good options, but Steve Clark, I would have taken over him. I'm pretty sure he had an interview as well, and then they gave it to Warnock instead.
That comment that Neil Warnock did about, I know I was seventh choice, but
he said he didn't care if he was seventh choice, he's just happy to be back. It's like he's been given the fucking job on a Make-A-Wish Foundation. You've been last man for another season before you retire and die.
Well, it's no more listening to Alan Brazil on the TalkSport, I suppose, isn't it? Something to be happy
yeah,
about.
Anyway,
that is your 30 seconds. We've gone a bit overboard with that. Back on to the big boys.
The big team.
Leroy, Arsenal. Let's try and keep this bit toned down towards Wenger. Because, you know.
I'm not even going to say anything, but the season, it's been weird, man. I mean, it's not been promising at all for me personally.
Not even Man City.
We played well, but I just see the same old problems. You know, I mean, we were at home. They're there for the killing. Man City actually played the rest of the lot of players. They didn't play their best players, and they probably played better than us overall. Even though there were positive signs, like I don't know, I just see the same old problems with the team. Defensive crisis, nearly. The only thing I have to be happy about is I think Welbeck will do quite well. I think Welbeck will really do quite well. I think he'll be fine at Arsenal. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm still going to go with my prediction at the end of the season. Like, if we don't sign a DM, I don't think we'll make top four. And that's what I'm going to go with, to be honest.
Mickey, do you echo similar thoughts?
I'm not telling you, I've already written the season off. I'm just kind of like focusing on individuals. That's the only thing I'm getting excited about, individual performances. The one big plus is Wilshere has steadily become probably our most consistent performer this season so far, which I absolutely love. I want to see more of Bellerin. Like we talked about earlier, I'm not liking the seeing what happens on Saturday against Villa, seeing Warbeck and Ozil combined is great. Sanchez has actually been pretty good. So I see positives, but for me it's more on an individual basis. I've been pretty happy. Ramsey, I don't know what's going on. I think he really needs to kind of just settle down and not try to be the match winner anymore and just play his game. Because I'm not a fan of this notion that Ramsey and Wilshere can't play together, because I think they can. Maybe not under this current system, but they can definitely play together. Really just about seeing them progress as individuals, really. Chamberlain being fit is good. Really just want to see him push on. That's it, really.
Well, I wanted to ask a bit about Mesut Ozil. I read a great article on 442 today about Mesut Ozil, about how the criticism of him has been a bit over the top. Because, I mean, when you ask people about Mesut Ozil and you ask about last season, they will tell you he had like a disastrous season. But I have a pretty good memory, and I don't remember him having a disastrous season at all. He wasn't as good as he could have been, but, you know, he definitely had great moments. The game against Villa, did we see the return of Mesut Ozil, or was
My thing is, you can't really call it a return unless it's a run of games. I'm a big advocate of consistency. This whole kind of fickle nature that football fans have developed, where a player can be back for four games, he has an amazing game, and or same thing with a manager or a team, it's like we're back, put in a number of games together, actually make it perform. It was promising, it's encouraging. That's the first step. That's the positive for me. It's the first step. It's like you've been productive in terms of your output. You've facilitated play. It was a generally great all-round performance. But let's start doing that on a more consistent basis. Let's do that versus the top teams as well, because I think that's what we're really waiting for, is that kind of, not dominant in terms of just taking over, because Ozil isn't going to be that type of player. What he'll be versus Manchester City or Birmingham City, but just a match versus a top opponent during a pressure situation, and he delivers, because he's capable of doing that. For me, the World Cup final is testament to that. He's capable of doing that, but we just wanted to see him do it in Arsenal colours.
He's more than capable. He is, this is the first time this season he's played centrally. We can't play him wide. Stop it. End up. The thing is, first season obviously is an adaptation period, and it's quite tough for these type of players. So he's come in the second season where he's really about to kick on, and he's played in a position that doesn't suit him at all. So that's really Mesut Ozil's first proper game of the season in his position, and he played amazing. So I just want to see him in that position consistently for a run of games, and I think he'll be amazing, and I think he'll be near on our player of the season this season.
I think our player this season will be Wilshere, personally speaking.
Sanchez
is another one. I like, he's scoring pretty consistently, which is nice.
He's getting better and better as well.
Yeah.
When you sign Sanchez, I said he'll be your guy ahead of those, because he's just not just in his ability, he's had his personality. But
yeah, for me, yeah, that's the thing. Ozil's probably, I consider him more talented. However,
same.
I think Sanchez is just a, to quote Mr. Swagador, he's a bit more of a tiger in it. Let's just keep it real. But that's part of being a football player. It's not just talent. You need to have, not aggressive and running around the pitch, but just aggression in terms of, I want to win. And if they're not going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And I think when you couple that with Sanchez's great athleticism, and obviously his bad ability, that's why I think he might prove to be your most important player. He has even, so far I've watched Sanchez, and I ain't seen him do anything yet like the Udinese Sanchez, and he's really doing bits. Like, he scored about four goals, two really, really good goals, especially one in a big game against Manchester City. Like, I think that's what you can expect from Sanchez. So that
return as well. Three all costs to the Welbeck in one team is going to be pretty amazing. I'm not going to watch
with Ozil supplying.
I'm not a fan. I would never play them all in the same team unless it's away against a big team.
I think Walcott suits Ozil more than Sanchez does, but Sanchez is a better player than Walcott. because Walcott prefers the ball in space and Sanchez prefers it at his feet.
I can see get frustrated with Walcott in the middle third all the time. Walcott's doing dumb really? Stuff. Yeah.
I think Walcott and Ozu only played like four games together last season.
And they've looked amazing together. It's just,
I think he got like five or six goals in those just those four games alone. Yeah,
but because Walcott and Sanchez both have played on the right predominantly, and Sanchez obviously in Walcott's absence, so is Sanchez going to play on the left? Because I quite like to see Walcott play on the left because he's got a really good shot.
Walcott got the feet for that, man.
Perhaps because he prefers to run to the byline, doesn't he? But
I think
he has
played the left quite well. He'd have to augment his game a bit, but I think it could really work.
He's got that great goal against Man City from the left, didn't he?
Yeah,
yeah,
true.
But
you know what?
Was that more of circumstance? He wasn't actually on the left, was he? That was more of circumstance, right?
If Walcott played left against my team, I'd be delighted.
But the thing is, I would never play them in the same team unless it's away against a big team, because I really am a big fan of our system of sort of, we have one sort of wide midfielder because it allows us to at least attempt to control games.
So having Cazorla on the left wing and a winger on the right.
Let's put Cazorla on the left wing, because like this whole team can't play on the left.
It's rubbish.
Don't stress me out, this Babstrap dude, man. I actually want to at him and just actually ask him.
No, but it's not just him. I've seen that from a lot of Arsenal fans.
Seriously, it is, they're Arsenal fans. They're not football fans. They're not people know about football. Because if you know about football, for Malaga and Villarreal, that's where he played, left or right. So I don't understand.
Spain, that's where he plays.
I don't know how you could all of a sudden wake up one day and not be able to play there because of what. I don't get it.
Well, maybe I'll tell you what. In Cazorla's first season, I'm pretty sure I did an article on this. He played centrally throughout, and then towards the end of the season, they moved him out to the left because I think we had a few problems. And Cazorla actually got. I mean, this is for the fans that like the statistics and stuff. Cazorla got more assists out on the left wing than he did centrally. So
especially, it's probably because he's a cam. FIFA that people think he can't play on the left. He does a really good job there. He's not an orthodox winger, but
What I noticed about Zola when he plays centrally is he's actually much more of an attacking midfielder than a playmaker. Like, he will go for goal, and this is one of the reasons I like him. He will work a nice little bit of space as his proper shot.
Yeah.
With either foot as well.
Guys, just keeping with the wide forward thing, the wide midfielder thing, if you were to sort of incorporate Jack and Aaron in the 4-2-3-1, I did my lineup for tomorrow's game against Spurs, and I have Jack on the right wing.
I would put Wilshere on the wing. I've forgotten what game it was last season.
Marseille.
Him and Ramsey played on the wing quite a lot last season just because of injuries. Or the season before me.
Ramsey didn't. It was Wilshere that did.
Yeah.
Ramsey played like a couple of seasons ago on the wing.
Okay, yeah. I think Wilshere would be good on the wing and it would be good for him.
But not left wing, only right wing.
Only right wing, because he played on the left wing and was trash. He played on the right wing for one game and he was incredible. You have to play creative players like that.
But what about Chambers at right back?
Luka Modric did that quite well. From what I remember, Luka Modric was just made that quite well, and of course Nico Crenshaw as well.
On the left at top,
But I personally wouldn't play Walcott out of central positions, but especially because right now he's actually hitting some form which we haven't seen for quite a long time. So I think it may be detrimental to move him out of a position where he's starting to, catch a bit of fire. So that's just me.
I hear what you're saying, but I think that wide.
I now make Ramsey touch bench real quick.
Just to incorporate Ozil in the 10.
Ramsey's annoying me.
But he's a match winner, though.
But the thing is, Lewis, in the beginning of the game, you want to just have your team to dominate the match. If you're struggling, then you bring on your difference makers. I think Ramsey could be that guy. So if I was struggling against Spurs on the weekend, I'll bring him on at 60 minutes, because I know if anyone's going to get me a goal, it's going to be him.
you know what I mean?
Mm.
But I would go out there with my best team that I think is going to play the best, because I personally think, especially against this Spurs team, we need to dominate that. We need to dominate that. We need to dominate that midfield. We need to make sure we've got all of the ball. They can't have it. And Ramsey gives it away every 3 seconds.
Because
The thing is, Spurs don't have a team really built for the counter-attack either.
Yeah, Spurs
are so like, they're not a team built for counter-attack either, so it's like, you know, let's really go out and start. I just want to see Bellerin start, man. I know he won't, but I just want to see him start.
So, but is that more in protection of Chambers, or...?
Why? Because my philosophy, young players anyway, if they're good enough, they're young, it doesn't matter about age. So if Wenger, who sees this player play week in, week out, train every day, and you put him in the first team squad, you're indicating to him and to the fans he's going to have to play for Arsenal Football Club. So regardless of how many injuries we have or who we're playing, you should be comfortable. Even if he's going to be a bit unstable at first, you should be comfortable in the fact that at one point he's going to be able to play every week. So playing Bellerin shouldn't be a problem, because if he isn't ready, then you have to go back to the manager and be like, okay, well, you obviously have a player who isn't ready, so why is he on loan or with the under-21s, and why haven't you got a more senior player or a more competent player ready for that position?
Mm.
Also, he's only going to have to face Chadley, so it's the biggest of tasks.
Honestly speaking, like, it's strange, because obviously players develop differently. Because what I was about to say was, do you know what? Sometimes being put into the deep end is the best.
Didn't it happen to Gibbs?
Yeah, it happened to Gibbs. Gibbs got put straight in there.
I remember Shechi playing against Man United one time.
A lot of our players have been thrown in the deep end.
I remember that game because Shazzy was pissed about fuel saving everything. I was thinking, what is this stupid Polish guy's problem?
And there's a lot of players for me. I can't think of many great young players that weren't thrown in the deep end.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Be Rooney, but Messi, Fabregas.
But Mickey, I kind of don't understand your thought process around it. I understand why you would start Bellerin, but doesn't the same principles apply to Chambers?
Chambers is a bit more established than.
My thing with Chambers, if something happens to Chambers, Mertesacker's already carrying a knock.
Yeah, so is it our protection that you would play Bellerin?
Yeah, for me it's our protection more so.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know what, if we had a fourth centre back, then yeah, that's fine. But I'm a fan of saying, okay, do you know what, that isn't a situation, so we might as well play Bellerin. Because worst comes to worst, Bellerin gets injured, who can we play there? Cochrane.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He's an anchor,
but he can play fullback as well.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Liverpool and Chelsea briefly. My thoughts around Liverpool were that I don't think they would make top four this season. I thought the Champions League would have an impact on them. I'm not saying the Champions League has had an impact on them yet, but. I just wanted to know what your guys' thoughts around Liverpool were at the start of the season. Where are they struggling? Was this to be expected?
My thoughts around Liverpool were, I thought they'd do really well, and I thought they'd make the Champions League slots quite easily, because I really, even without Suarez, I just feel like, obviously, they've got a coach who really has got them playing really good football. The one thing I didn't predict is how badly they'll do without Daniel Sturridge.
Sturridge is so key to them.
He's so important, like, because his runs in behind, when he isolates a player, when he beats people one-on-one, it's so, so crucial.
I remember, I think I'm having a discussion with Mr. Kane that I said, I know it's early days, but this is just my analysis before I'm even put pen to paper. I just said, the way Liverpool play, I think them signing Balotelli, even though he probably scored against Man United, because that's just the type of guy he is, I think it might kind of hinder them. I think it might make them less dangerous because of the way they play, with the quick movement and the selflessness, the speed. Balotelli kind of likes the game to play at his own type of pace, and certain times Balotelli just won't turn up, like, for no reason whatsoever, he just won't turn up. And I can kind of see that happening this season.
At the end of the day, what it will take is...
You say?
No, continue.
No, go on, son.
No, like, I just wanted you to carry on from your point about Ballo. It's just like, for me, at the end of the day, Liverpool started off slowly last season too. So,
they started off well last season.
Yeah, then they started playing crap. Then they
yeah.
Went up.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I think, again, like, the game would
Mitrovic and Emre Can. I've heard a lot of Emre Can. I can't really make a judgment on him, but I've seen quite a bit of Markovic, and I think he's a really good player. So I think, especially the way he plays direct and pace, with him and Raheem Sterling on the same team, I think that could open up a lot of space for the other lads to play. So I'm not too sure about Liverpool personally. I'm inclined to say Man United will probably come in top four, and Liverpool pick Arsenal, but Arsenal just always seems to get there. So I don't know, man. I think it's gonna be really interesting this season. I can't really make judgments yet because how many games? 5 games. I like to talk from December, but I'm not too sure about Liverpool. But I think if Daniel Sturridge gets injured a lot, then I think they're in real trouble.
I think my personal opinion on it is like I'm not like a qualified guy or anything like that, but I felt last season like Liverpool gained a lot of plaudits because of how tactically versatile they were. Every single game they came with like a plan, like they came motivated, they came prepared for every single opposition. And obviously, like what I'm trying to say to Liverpool fans is that you had a lot of preparation time. You had 7 days in between each game to work on stuff at the training ground to get people fresh. And as soon as you get those midweek games now, it's cut down. It's not just days you're missing at the training ground as well. It's just like it's fatigue. It's you're traveling, so it's not just like you're missing one game for a match. You're missing one day through through traveling. You're missing like another day through rest as well. And I'm just thinking like, is that match preparation time going to hinder how tactically flexible they can be and preparing for the opposition?
Also, I'd like to say that Liverpool, the season before last, they finished seventh. Last season, Liverpool, they were quite a revelation. Everyone saw how great, play the best football in the league and stuff like that. I think now teams are playing against Liverpool a different sort of way.
Yeah.
So they're setting up completely different to Liverpool. I think maybe a lot more respect is shown to Liverpool. Like, now Liverpool, you hear Rodgers complaining about how teams play because teams aren't giving Liverpool space in behind. Yeah. So, you know, they've got the Raheem Sterlings and Hendersons and Sturridges that are going to run in behind and stuff like that.
And I think Leroy made a good point about that. I think a lot of respect has to be given to West Ham in how they set up against Liverpool, because I think it was Leroy said that Big Sam, when it comes to working out teams, he's normally like a pioneer in terms of...
He does it to everyone. Yeah. He does it to us against when we switched and we had that Arteta-Santi Cazorla thing. He annoys me so much.
Yeah, he's tactically very, very good. People might not like... That's why I think West Ham fans are a bit nuts when they say they don't want Allardyce.
Yeah, because, like, no, Ben, if you're paying to watch that, I'll be mad as well. I'm not gonna
true, lie. True. But it's like...
It's working.
If he was given the money, I think he could make...
What do you say, Laura? Is
Mourinho light?
He's Mourinho light. All Mourinho does is defend like Samuel Adams and Tony Pierce from a rich team.
Well, but you're reaching, fam.
No, it's Mourinho light, bro. It's tactical genius.
The demo version of Mourinho.
Oh, wow.
I actually bet Manager the Wenger for Mourinho.
Sorry?
You bet Manager the Wenger.
Who, Allardyce or Mourinho?
All right, whatever.
Yeah, you can either rate Allardyce or that, because when people talk about tactics, they only talk about what coaches stop teams.
Yeah,
this is what I mean with Mourinho, though. This is what I said about
Mourinho. Yeah, but it's still a tactic. Obviously, I think proactive tactics are hard to execute. That's why I personally think that Pep Guardiola is the best coach in football, because his team are proactive. Teams set up defensively against him, and he managed to find a way against. I think it's easier to be reactive than proactive.
Exactly. This is my point. Can I just say this about Mourinho? Everyone praises Mourinho for being a tactical genius. Exactly what you said, Kane. All he does is stop teams when he has teams of equal talent that put against him, or equal better talent. He just stops teams and has a smash and grab coach. Fair enough, fine. But like, look at people like Rodgers. Look at people like Pep. They're imposing their tactics.
Even Wenger
posed games on who?
Come on, you have to give the man credit where it's due.
Who is Wenger?
Because that's the work. It has to work, bro.
Nah. You can't say that Wenger hasn't imposed a philosophy, because he has.
Yeah. Now, I want somebody to tell me who Wenger's imposing his tactics on.
But you can't... Whether the tactics are good enough or not, yeah? You can still see what Wenger wants the team to do in an attacking philosophy. Whether it happened last season...
All last three seasons.
No, come on, man.
But Lewis,
I'm not... Listen, I'm not...
Thing is,
Are you seriously trying to say that Wenger doesn't know how to impose his attacking philosophy on his team?
His attacking philosophy depends on the players he has.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I think we've seen enough Arsenal teams in the past, yeah, to show that.
Yeah, in the past. And they all play differently.
But that's all,
yeah,
but that's
they all play differently depending on what players are on the pitch.
I don't know, man. But over the last 5 or 6 years, we've played the same way.
No, you haven't.
Yes, we have.
No, we have not.
Have we not? What have we done differently?
The team from 2009, the 2009-2010 period, was very different to the team from 2011.
Why was it different?
Because you're possession base.
What are we now?
Yeah. Now we're possession based.
We got now, bro.
No,
we're not possession based. Are you mad?
No, we're trying to be. Listen, I'm not saying
we're
what
trying
we're doing.
To be, yeah, we're trying to be. Trying to
we are possession based now.
We're trying to be.
The team 2012 Arsenal is very different to this Arsenal team. That was very different to 2009-10. So like the Fabregas Nasri era is different to when we had Jovinho on the wing.
What I'm saying is the last five years or so, this has been the way we've been playing.
No, but we've changed. We've changed the way we've played over those
since
five
when?
Years.
Maybe since 09, but...
No, the 09 team, what you're saying, is played a completely different way from the 11 team.
Yeah, but you know, it's nearly 2015 now. When I say 5 years, like, I'm talking like from like 2010, 2009-10 upwards.
5 years of 2009, bro. Massive,
yeah, I know. I said about 5 years, like. I was talking about the last, like, since Nasri and Fabregas have gone. It's been a long time, man.
I don't know. Like,
let's move on from
that.
It's just right, man. Look at that. It's talking it.
Yeah, no, we kind of need to move away from Arsenal because... We were talking about Liverpool and we somehow found our way back to Arsenal.
Sharp, Man
United
is
shit anyway.
It's not a
pumpy
in November, though.
Yeah,
you're
probably will, but
you probably will pump
you. I'm so immune to pumping right now, yeah. It's like...
It doesn't even hurt no more,
it? Don't even hurt.
That's listen to your thing. With your manager...
We've become like Spurs fans. Do you know what? Even if we lose 2-0 in big games now, it's like, oh, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Good performance, lads. Well done. Well done, lads.
And you know what's upsetting? We have so much potential. If you look at the players we have, like...
What players?
Well, okay, honestly, I think Welbeck, Sanchez, Santi Cazorla, Thomas Rosicki, Jack Wilshere, Sam Ramsey...
Did you say Rosicki?
Yeah,
I also said Rosicki. Is he like 78? Yeah. Rosicki would walk into your midfield, mate. Rosicki would walk into your midfield.
Yeah, literally, he would, isn't it? He probably would have if he's free to pass.
Yes, he would get in the team over bloody Herrera. Jesus Christ.
Are you out of your mind?
Of course he would.
Are you out of your mind?
Of course he would, mate.
No way would he get in the team over Herrera.
He would, man.
If he's free to pass, bro. Rosicki, you know. This ain't 2003, mate.
Wait, Herrera's had like two good games against QPR and now he's like the second coming.
No,
I'm not having that.
Herrera is a
good player. Outside the Premier League.
Yeah, Herrera's a good player, but I'm saying like, Rosicki, getting that team.
He hasn't been a good player for 3 years.
He can't play in a midfield three though, can he? He's got to play on the winger as a 10.
Who, Rosicki?
I disagree.
No,
yeah,
Rosicki. I love Rosicki in the centre.
Leroy played against Fulham and he was better than Kagawa. Leroy thinks Rosicki's better than Kagawa. That's how
I told you. Yeah,
Rosicki's
better than.
At that point, when I had that conversation. No, bruv, you're a liar.
I'm not a liar.
Anyway, guys, are we all in agreement that Chelsea are probably going to walk the league?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they are. Yeah. Why are they going to walk the league?
Ayo, please explain your methods to your craziness.
No, but why is everyone conceding the title to Chelsea in what, September?
Because
they're better than everyone. What is the weakness?
No, they're going to win the league, man.
Unless they play Ramirez, that's it.
They're going to win the league.
Bro,
easy.
If Diego Costa gets injured, what happens next?
Then Remy will score.
I don't rate Remy as highly as you guys do.
I don't rate him either, but...
He'll do a job, though. He'll do a better job than Torres.
I don't even rate Costa that highly, but geez, he's scoring 7 goals in 5 games or whatever.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Costa's now... Everyone used to say Costa was, he's a donkey, Now he's, like, one of the best strikers in the world, right?
No, he's not, man.
Not in terms of talent. Like, he does a job. But the thing with Costa is he's like Mourinho as a footballer, and Mourinho is him as a manager. They're like the same person. So they just, they fit so well together. And he just charges around.
What a big fucking cunt.
Beefing people and scaring defenders. And
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guys, would you say that Chelsea's new proneness to conceding goals is obviously due to their
more
it's the sole fault of Cesc Fabregas.
Sorry?
It's all Cesc.
What, because of their defensive errors?
Yeah, like Cesc gives them nothing.
What about Ivanovic though? Like, because I've seen a few people say is Ivanovic like sort of playing as like a right winger or something?
Yeah,
is Felipe Luis injured?
No, he's just not in the team.
What?
They're
playing the exact same back four as last season because Mourinho loves Ivanovic, but that you can still play Felipe Luis at left back and drop past Piqueta. So
I'll play both.
I'd drop Ivanovic, but Mourinho doesn't.
Maybe Mourinho wants Ivanovic to have set pieces.
So do you think that would be where the weakness lies? But then again, you say where the weakness lies against big teams. Mourinho doesn't set up like that.
Just defends. Oh, I hate Mourinho so much.
Those weaknesses will not be there.
Hold on. You said Mourinho doesn't just defend against big teams, though.
He sucker punches them.
At home, it'll be interesting to see.
When you lost 6-0, you get sucker punched. 6 times.
We're not a big team. Nah, you think I'm joking? Nah, I'm deadly serious. But if he plays that Man City, he plays that Tony Pulis guy.
Look
at Crystal Palace last season, how Tony Pulis had them set up. He played the same way Mourinho does.
Yeah, but that could, people are still talking on the traditional Stoke, because even now Stoke even played.
The worst game of it with Chelsea was last year against Atletico Madrid, where they left, who was that front? Torres. And all they were doing to Torres, just smashing balls down the channel. That's what I'm saying. But if that was Stoke, he would have got. Well, if it was Tony Pulis, he would have got absolutely bashed for it.
That's what I'm saying.
And Mourinho would have bashed him for it as well.
Because Mourinho can pull it off with his, like, cocky, arrogant comment. Yeah, his charisma.
And Mourinho will bash people for doing it to him.
He's just an old
fan. Okay, ask you guys a question here. Is football a competition or not?
Yeah, but it's still an entertainment.
It's still a tactic.
Many people may see it as a negative tactic, but it's still tactic.
Yeah, it's still a tactic, but it doesn't mean people have to like it.
And it's executed to the team.
No, but it doesn't mean anyone has to respect it or like it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that.
No, we have to accept that he's a great tactical coach.
No, I do not, because at the end of the day, it's not, okay, is it easier to set up? I mean, if you gave Sam Allardyce Mourinho's budget and Mourinho's players, do you think he could not set up a team that defends the same way he does and sucker punches like he does, with the attacking talent they have and the defence talent they have? You think he gave Tony Pulis Chelsea, and you think he could do that?
Would Tony Pulis still have the same attacking flair when they play at home?
No, but I'm saying if you gave him the same budget, I think he could do it.
I don't know about that. Elements of Mourinho's game that people don't talk about, like how he motivates the very, very big players that have already won everything.
But then, fair enough, that's a different part. But in terms of being a pure tactical coach, I'm not having it at all, bro. I want to see someone who can actually be a general tactician, going forward, defensively, like, have his whole team on lock. That's why, even though, like, Pep, I've got issues with Pep, but I rate him, I rate Brendan Rodgers, I rate positive coaches.
Yeah, but Rodgers ain't a positive coach defensively.
It's not his fault. It is his fault
because he doesn't buy the personnel.
Yeah, I guess he hasn't given Lovren any protection like he had at Southampton. He spent $20 million on Sacco, $20 million on Lovren, pretty much.
And he hasn't
replaced Gerrard.
He's
best centre back fallout with him.
Sorry guys, I just want to go back to Liverpool briefly. Is playing Gerrard a sentiment decision, or they obviously didn't want to buy someone just because of Gerrard.
Yeah, they should have done what Barca did with Xavi and just phased him out, given Gerrard sort of every sort of third league game and the cup games, and they should have bought a ready replacement to play at the bottom of the diamond, because you see Gerrard got spun by Dan against West Ham. That sums up what he does defensively now. It's not his fault. He just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they should have bought someone like Schneiderlin. I know Southampton didn't want to sell because they sold everyone,
In the last pod, I think me and the White House just talk about how teams, if they're smart in Liverpool, just sit a guy in Gerrard, which kind of West Ham did again with Downing, and he just toasted him.
Yeah.
I don't understand why Rodgers is still pushing. How is that going to work when you go in Europe? You have Gerrard as your anchor.
Yeah, and with the Champions League, Gerrard three games in a week, can he? Yeah, exactly.
You're going to go to the Bernabeu with Gerrard as your anchor. James will be skanking in that changing room, because Gerrard ain't getting anywhere near him.
Okay. Yeah. All right, guys. We'll leave it there. In terms of talking about teams, I just want to run through some listeners' questions briefly. I've got quite a few, so try and keep the answers not brief, have some discussion, but you know, not spending half an hour on one question. I've got one from Flaves NB. He asks, which new signings have had the most impact for their clubs?
Fabregas.
Yep.
Costa.
Yep. Sanchez.
Yeah, Di Maria sort of rejuvenated United's midfield.
Welbeck
as well.
What about teams lower down? Has Palace had anyone?
I don't know. We haven't really changed much. I just think we've sort of Zaha is very similar to what we've already got in Blasi and stuff. So nah. But I think Welbeck should go on that list.
Do you know the person who plays up front for Leicester City? I can't really pronounce his name.
Azoa's been amazing.
Is he a new signing?
He's a new signing.
Yeah, they got him from Brighton, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's 29 years old, I think, you know.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's better than
Welbeck. Oh, shut up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Azoa's been good. Tadic has been good for Southampton as well.
He's been very good.
Is he the one that scored against Arsenal?
No, Tadic didn't score, but
he's been very good.
He didn't play that well. He did alright against Arsenal. He wasn't great, but
he cost $10 million less than Lallana. Yeah, Liverpool as well.
I think you can name a lot of the Southampton signings. Pele, I know that Pele guy was a bit of a laughing stock in Italy, but he's come here and he's got 3 goals in the league already. So he's been good.
And they haven't even spent that much money in defence, have they? Or any at all? They've loaned in Bertrand.
Klein. Who's their centre backs?
Klein they got 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying who's their defence.
They got Fonte and Yoshida.
Oh god, that's awful.
Yoshida's pants. I told you there's no way they get relegated. Chance.
Mm. Yeah, they're second now. People said they were going to go down before the league.
Listen, it's only 5 games, mate.
I know.
It's only 5 games,
but
lads.
That's a good record for the start, and they look like they'll be fine. So.
Yeah, no, it's a very good record. It's a very good record. Anyone else before we move on to the next question? I can't think of anyone else.
Nah.
No? I've got one from Ruan Lucas. Why are we laughing? Okay. He asks, who are the top 5 coaches for young players and why? So, I don't know if he means... We'll go across Europe.
I'm going to go with Pep.
And why?
Why?
Yeah.
I think one of the things he does well, he's... sets up a team for young players to flourish. So it's not just in terms of developing them as individuals. He knows how to put them in the right environment competitively. Klopp, for similar reasons. And also, I think he knows how to make boys into men, in a way. I think he makes young players seem more senior than they are. And he hasn't done it with just one player. I think he does it with a number of players. I'm tempted to say Bielsa. In terms of teaching players, in terms of actually developing them as individuals tactically. Who else? Let me think.
God, give Brendan a shout.
Yeah, so I was going to say Rodgers. Just because I don't think Erling's a brilliant example. Like, over the past 2 years, he's gone from sort of probably just another Aaron Lennon to, like, he should be playing as 10 for England. So
same with Sturridge.
Yeah,
he's well.
Changed Sturridge quite a lot.
I'm not talking about Sturridge. I don't agree that Sturridge shot.
Sturridge was always talented.
He was always talented.
He got the right platform at Liverpool to show it.
I think the thing is,
he is playing in a system and he is under instruction. So,
Sturridge has banged. He banged for Bolton.
Yeah.
Even on the right for on the AVB, he banged. I think he's always been banged.
Yeah, he has. But the thing is, has his all-round game ever been this good?
As in, I think he was just a young player. I think he'll reach his levels at any club if that gave him a platform to play. That's my opinion.
What about LVG? Good with young players. Is old Paddy McNair going to get his chance against West Ham, is he?
Good. If you look at all the players he's given debuts.
McNair probably better than Koscielny, so no way you're laughing. I really do like it. I'm not too sure how good these ones are because I haven't really watched a lot of our youth football ever since we lost Rafael and Pogba, because I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I don't blame you, bro. Oh, crap.
I'm not too sure about those two lads, but I like the fact that he's given Blackett a chance. I've seen a bit of Blackett. I don't even think he was even as good as he actually is. So I think he's done quite well with Blackett, so that's something that I'm quite happy
with. Do you know, yeah, I've been impressed with Blackett. It kind of gives me a bit of hope for Isaac Hayden, because I haven't really seen much of Isaac Hayden in a centre-back position. Leroy...
Is he going to play, though? That's the thing.
No, he won't play, but I'm saying, boy, is Tyler Blackett going to play if once everyone's fit? I don't think so.
He's better than the rest of them clowns, so I think he probably should.
Well, you reckon he's better than Smalling and Jones?
Smalling and Jones on the ball are panic stations. Like, they're actually... When they get the ball, they panic. Like, not Jones. I think Jones is overconfident on the ball with his lack of tech. Smalling, when he gets the ball, it's like nosebleeds. So I think...
How do you rate Pochettino?
Pochettino?
Yeah.
I think he's quite well Southampton with his young players at Southampton. I think he did quite well.
But Southampton have been doing it for a while. It's not just it wasn't a revolutionary thing.
But like, at this level? Because obviously...
No, but Nigel Adkins was doing it, wasn't he?
Nah, not really. That's why he sacked him.
What?
Nah, he took a decent side from Adkins and made them much better. Like,
but he was still playing the youth players, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played quite a lot of the same players. Like, I don't know, he's got Rose playing quite well. I don't really know enough about Pochettino to comment on this, seems like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, the Spurs fans are already calling for his head already.
Spurs fans, they took the most...
They're idiots, bro.
They should have bought a striker.
Spurs fans are the most jazz ever. I don't want you guys to listen to them.
I listen to
actually,
too much talk.
Sorry for Arsenal, that's your rival. In fact, that's actually good. It's probably the only thing keeping Wenger.
That's bragging rights for every year, mate.
Yeah, because you can always beat them. That's
do you know what? I don't trust any fans whose teams form oscillate over seasons. I put Liverpool fans and Tottenham fans in the same category, where they'll be like mediocre for like 2 or 3, and they have one amazing season, and it starts looking wreck. Like, I'm putting them in the same category. That's why.
Yeah, I kind of do as well, because like, I get the feeling that they're about to have another Liverpool are about to have a Spurs season now that Suarez has gone. Like, it's going to be the same as when Bell goes. That's what I think. Anyway, you might disagree with me.
That's what I hope for, boy.
Like, what was the season where Liverpool actually thought they were amazing? Was it 2009?
2009, yeah.
When they came second.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that season! Liverpool
That was Benitez, right?
Yeah.
And then he bottled it.
Yeah,
fact. Fact.
Did I see the one who beat us 4-1?
Yeah. Where Torres... Yeah.
When Torres should be really good at football.
Yeah.
Yeah, before his talent got taken by...
Have you seen how like everyone's like jizzing over his little piece of skill facing Milan? Like,
you did that every... That's the thing. Who does pieces of skill for Chelsea? They're so... I hate football fans, man.
I think he got man of the match in that game, like.
Torres has had more comebacks than the Spice Girls,
man. Him now because he's so like slower than he used to be and everything like that. Italy suits him, but he's still shit.
No, he looks like Suarez.
I don't think he's a crap footballer.
Who, Torres?
I think most of the stuff that used to make him good has sort of disappeared now.
And the thing is, Torres actually did quite well in Europe for Chelsea.
Yeah, in Europa League he was good.
But that's because he's playing teams like Ruben Kazan. Huh?
Champions League.
Oh, you're talking about Champions League, alright.
So in the league, he was super swag. But Chelsea kind of seems like a death trap for strikers in general. Like, how many strikers actually go to Chelsea and bang?
Yeah, it's true.
Since Barish has been there, how many strikers have been consistent?
And even Drogba wasn't exactly like...
That's because of Mourinho.
He took a long to kick off, didn't he?
Drogba had two seasons where he scored 5 goals, man. 5. Mm.
How good was Crespo when he was at Chelsea?
You weren't great.
I was quite young, but Crespo, I remember he was there for like one or two.
I think Crespo had like one season, didn't he?
Yeah. Mutu weren't great, Crespo weren't great, Kesman weren't great.
But Mutu was a player, though.
Mutu when it was Ranieri and Charge banned.
Mutu was a player.
And then he got...
No,
no but...
Back 6 months, then he was doing cocaine for like, yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
nah,
but...
Under Ranieri.
But where did that Ranieri team finish, though? Where did that Ranieri team finish?
Pretty sure they came second.
No,
second.
I don't think
yeah,
it was
second. Yeah, he got sacked because he didn't win the league in his first season.
Was it? Okay. That was the Invincible season, wasn't it?
So kind of worked out.
Yeah.
That was the Invincible season, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
The last time he won the league, 2004.
What do you think about like, the whole Newcastle thing? Like, where does this like hate for Podgy come from?
No, their fans, yeah. I asked one of their fans on Twitter the other day, and they basically said that Pardew doesn't care about the fans. Yeah. He's an absolute twat. Like they
he does seem like a horrible person. Like some of the stories I've read about.
Yeah. And you know what? Any bad story that's printed about them in the press, they ban them. They ban that newspaper from attending games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like their fans just hate Pardew and they hate Ashley. They just want to
broken them out. They really don't like Ashley.
They really don't like Ashley and now that hate, because it seems like Pardew and Ashley are kind of on the same sort of
wavelength.
It's now kind of gone over to Pardew now. So, yeah, they just want both of them gone.
I saw a Newcastle fan complain about his selection. Like, you can't play Riviera off on his own and sending out Yango and Biwa on loan and keeping Steven Taylor, stuff like that. It all just accumulates into lots of hate.
Yeah. I've got a couple more questions. Sorry, fundamentalist asks: is it harder to be rated as a defender rather than an attacker? If so, why?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I see a lot of people just rate defender if their team keeps clean sheets or they see him make a lot of challenges.
I think it's harder because defense is about the subtleties of the game. To rate an attacker is so easy to spot. They score goals. They beat players well.
Yeah.
Well, you have to have a real as a defender.
Yeah.
Sorry, has a defender ever won the Ballon d'Or?
Cannavaro,
but that was only because Italy won the World Cup.
That's the only one, isn't he? And Italy won the World Cup. So people like Lahm, Thiago Silva, they're in the shortlist, but they'll never get top three because it's easier to rate players who score goals than it is to rate players
but
who
score goals. But the thing is, it's the nature of the game because at the end of the day, the further up the pitch you are, the more individualistic you have to be. I could have an amazing season as a striker without relying on my team. But if I'm a defender and my defence and the guys playing in front of me are shit, doesn't matter how well I play.
Yeah, you know,
who would you say is the most underrated defender out there? Like, and I'm not just talking about from fans, I'm talking about kind of...
I think Curtis Davis. Yeah.
From the media as well.
I think Curtis Davis is.
I think it's Koscielny.
What?
Everybody rates Koscielny these days.
I never see Koscielny get rated in the media at all, you know.
Well, you lot are this media thing.
No. Listen.
The media says that you're the best team in the galaxy.
When was the last time you saw a pundit say Koscielny is like a world-class defender?
Well,
Have you ever heard that?
If Koscielny ain't in teams that leak six goals in the most important
exactly. That's my point.
Yeah, but that's part of being a good defender, though.
I think Connells is criminally underrated, personally speaking.
If Hummels is underrated, then Koscielny has to be underrated, because Hummels gets way more props than Koscielny. If you speak to Brit pundits in Britain, that, and you ask who's a better defender, Hummels or Koscielny, what? Hummels, of course.
Yeah,
but I'm saying it's not that blatant, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, shut up.
After Euro 2012, everybody overrated Hummels a bit. Like, he had a really good tournament, and then everybody went, oh, best sort of top three centre-backs in the world. And then he had, like, one season where, I don't know, he made a few more errors, and then everybody just did criminally underrated him, went, oh, shit, no, wouldn't get into any sort of top five Prem team. But now, I think it's at a point where some people overrate him and some people underrate him, but he's actually, like, just very good, and you can leave it at that.
Fair enough.
I think Koscielny gets quite a lot of plaudits from people that actually have some sort of brain.
Who are you talking about? I'm not even talking about fans that we speak to. Like, for example, us lot, we will all rate Koscielny. But I'm saying, Match of the Day, Sky Sports, they don't talk about Koscielny. If you ask them who is the best defender at Arsenal, they'll say Mertesacker.
Yeah, to be fair, Monday Night Football, I've seen sort of Carragher slate Koscielny for letting Agbonlahor behind him, and I've rarely seen him praise much that he does.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not. Yeah.
But fans generally, I think most people agree that he's top quality.
Fans that know what they're talking about will agree, but.
Neither would agree. Fair.
Do you know what? Yeah, out of fans like we talk to, do you not think actually gets underrated now? Not going to lie to you. I'm gonna say Company.
Because he gets made out
to be a donkey when he's really.
Companies become like the Mesut Ozil of defenders, where they sort of like ready to. Can you just listen to what I'm about to say, please? people will actually wait for any mistake that he makes, and yeah. It's straight onto Twitter. Oh my God, Company's so shit, sort of thing.
Because it started off the base of. Who's the best defender? Oh, Company's better than Koscielny. Oh my God, no, he's not. That's why it happens.
But I swear you don't rate Company.
I've always said I don't think he's the best defender in the world. And this is
in the league.
Because in the league, them times there was still Terry and Village who were playing very well. I said I can't rate Koscielny for being the best defender in the world when the guy has never played in an international tournament or in the Champions League. So let's wait until he starts doing that. And when Champions League, he was getting spun every game. So I was like, okay.
Koscielny.
Oh. I thought you said Koscielny there.
I think Company had a decent World Cup, to be
honest with you. Oh, no. This was before the World Cup. This was like when City won the league. My opinion has been the same. I think he's a quality defender. I really like him. He's been a baller from early. He used to play DM for City. Like, he's been a baller since then. But I just never saw him as the best defender in world football.
That's fair enough.
That's fair. I think at no point was he the best defender of all.
Exactly. That's my point.
Guys, just two more questions to get through.
Thiago Silva, Sergio Ramos, Philip Long.
I think in football, you got to remember in football, when you speak with football fans, if you say something with any sort of hint of criticism, it's like you don't rate that person. So you can say something like, I like Suarez, but I don't think he's, sometimes I think he's not clinical enough. Someone called, oh my God, this guy said Suarez can't score goals.
I say that with Bale. Everyone thinks I hate Bale, but...
Exactly.
Yeah, oh my God, no. Listen, Leroy, you think you get it bad over Bale. When Bale scored the winner...
I know, you get atted so much, man.
I got atted like crazy, bro. Oh my God.
Yeah, but you know, don't try it, because you clowns did the same thing to me, because when I said I don't think Kudu is a good player, the day after he played in the World Cup semi, I was like, oh, Kudu is having a great game. And then a million of Arsenal fans, including you, Laura, were tweeting. I was thinking... First and foremost, you don't want to sign Kadira, so you're wasting your time. And secondly, I don't care how well he plays today, you don't mean that he's not a good player, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's true.
People do that a lot. Like, if you say somebody's not good and they score a worldie that day, people talk a lot of smack. I remember when I was saying, I don't think Oxlade-Chamberlain's all that. He scored a great goal against Brazil, and I had Lewis tweet, oh, you see that? What are you saying?
That's just a generally absurd opinion where you said that. Chamberlain isn't in the top 10 youngsters in the Premier League, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's an absurd opinion.
Then it really wasn't.
It was only like 6 months ago. What are you talking about?
Nah, it wasn't 6 months ago. it was big enough last season.
Yeah, that's absurd. Anyway, we're going to move on. We digress.
Crap anyway, man.
I've got two more questions. One's from Elijah. He asks, do you think a very technical team could win the Premier League?
Yes.
What do you mean by that? Just purely technical?
I suppose he means...
I feel like Barcelona.
No.
Yeah, what I was going to say was Barcelona 2010-2011, one of the best club sides in like ever, absolutely dominated United, who were sort of winning the Prem. So if you get a team that's that good, they don't need to be physical.
But what about this Premier League? Because I think we could all agree.
Man City are one of the best teams in our leagues, yeah. And when they played Barcelona, they just didn't see the ball. I think a team like Barcelona, if you're not seeing the ball, week in, week out.
Our season, Torre got absolutely ran into the ground by Barcelona's midfield. So.
Now, if Torre gets ran into the ground by anybody who can move, then it's got some
sort of
full tech. we want to talk about Fabregas and Torre in the season.
Don't talk to me about Fabregas because I was saying Fabregas all day, man.
No, I'm not talking. I'm talking about Kane. I thought it was Kane that said something.
What?
I thought it was Kane. Sorry, it was you.
Fabregas went to the Champions League semi-final and he said he can't play centre mid. But yeah, I'll address him later.
Yeah.
Alright, we'll see.
The last question is from Harry J. Curtis, and he asks. Did Cambiasso's performance against United last week show that there's room for more supreme passes in the English game?
What did he do? I actually didn't notice him. What did he actually do?
He played decent, didn't he?
I've been talking about Cambiasso so much. What did he do that was great?
I think people got a bit gassed by the goal he scored, and then people started talking about... I personally didn't think for the first 60 minutes I was thinking, okay... And then when people started talking about Cambiasso, I was thinking, wait, what about the first 60 minutes of the game?
Exactly. Me and you on the same page with that.
I didn't get the hype about Cambiasso, but Harry's asking the question. Cambiasso is obviously a great passer of the ball, so...
Great? Okay.
He is. He's a good passer of the ball, no? Great passer of the ball, sorry.
Great.
Right?
When
you say great, you're talking like Fabregas, Xavi, and Iniesta.
Yeah, Alonso, exactly.
No? All right. So he's not a great passer of the ball?
No, he's good.
Okay, let's get rid of the first part of Harry's question. Is there room for more supreme passes in the English game?
Of course, the amount of space that we give.
The amount of space that Arsenal give.
David Silva and Mata were saying something like, they were surprised about how easy it is in Premiership to find space compared to Spain.
Yeah, Santi said that as well.
Oh, Santi said that as well. Okay, so that's three people.
Santi said that.
And when you think about look compared to like before. Players that come from foreign leagues, like we've had guys like Crespo and Rubinho and all these type of guys coming to our leagues, and they kind of struggle. But like now, guys like Di Maria come in, Ozil when he first came in, like he's been a bit like a waste man, Hazard, Silva. When he's come to Premiership and they're just taking it for a play. Even Suarez, even though he wasn't finishing, he was literally just walking through the fences as soon as he came to Premier League. That's I think our game has changed. I think our game has changed a lot where people, technical players, can come in and impose their own type of game.
Would you agree that the Premier League has the best talent in the world right now, as an overall sort of thing?
I think if you look from top to bottom, I think I might agree.
Ruben, you sound like a. Ruben, you sound like a Dalek. I can't even lie. Your mic is going crazy.
Best goalkeeper in the world plays in Germany. Best right back in the world plays in Germany. Two best centre backs in the world play in France.
But they all play for what? But you talk about Germany. They all play for one team.
It's true.
We're talking about the league. Like, I think if you were to name the 20 best players in the world, maybe not that many might play in the Premiership. But if you look at the whole scope, like the next
spread around. But look at it this way, right? Out of all the leagues, what team was best represented in the World Cup?
I think it was Bayern Munich, wasn't it?
No, what league?
Oh, I don't know. But then even then, that I don't really use that as a tool to judge, because like there's some teams that made the World Cup that aren't better than some of the European teams that didn't. So.
What?
I don't know, but if you're in the World Cup.
No, I know, but like only a certain amount of teams from Europe can qualify.
Teams like Sweden cannot qualify for the World Cup, and guys like, I don't know,
Nigeria can. Then
we're better than England. Sorry.
No, but you say that, but then Costa Rica came. No one saw what Costa Rica were gonna do.
No, it's true, but you wouldn't say Costa Rica have any of the best players in the world.
Yes, you do. They have the.
No, that's what I'm saying. But like,
have one of the best strikers in the world.
Anyway, this could be maybe a debate for another day. I think we could probably leave it there, to be honest. Yeah, we will leave it there, actually, I've decided, because I am the master of all ceremonies.
Okay.
Oh,
Jesus.
yeah, so thanks for your questions today, guys. I'll tell you what you can do. You can do us a big favour. As I said at the start, you can leave some reviews on iTunes. That would be fantastic. Also, you could vote for us in the FBA's Best Podcast Award. That's just been thrown into my attention now. Yeah, you can vote for us. I think you just have to tweet them. You just have to say Best Football Podcast, hashtag it, and at us, and we get a vote towards it. That would be fantastic. But yeah, until next week, guys. We'll see you later.
Peace. Woo!